God loves you. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that. A busy world in busy times. So many folks with troubled minds are searching here and there. What they're looking for seems hard to find. Someone who cares, some peace of mind. But you can find him. He's everywhere. When it seems all hope is gone, when you're feeling all alone, remember, he is there. It matters not where you have been. You have got a real friend. He loves you. He cares. He loves you. He loves you. He watches over you because he cares. He loves you. He loves you. And he will answer your prayers. He loves you. He loves you. Every burden he'll bear. Somebody loves you. He is a true friend. He cares. Amen. He loves you. He loves you. He watches over you because he cares. He loves you. He loves you. And he will answer your prayers. He loves you. He loves you. Every burden he'll bear. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody loves you. He is a true friend. He cares. Somebody. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So good to be in church today. It's good to have Brother Israel home. Amen. Back with us. Amen. Aren't you thankful he's here? Look forward to seeing the better half too. Amen. 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 Brother Mike and I give you a signal by saying this won't be long, this is short. And then, that's why we're here coming back. Yeah, right. Amen. Okay, let's try it this way. For a long thought this morning. Amen. No, I just want to read this scripture and make a few comments. Amen. I just want to say this. You can stand if you would like. Jesus was the greatest teacher, I suppose, there ever has been. At least he's the greatest person that ever lived. And he I believe is the greatest teacher that ever lived. And knowing that, I want to read a passage here, just a passage of the earthly life of Jesus, a few things that he went about doing. And I'll go to the book of Matthew and we'll just join in to what was going on there, the ninth or the eighth chapter, and see if we can just see what it is that we should be learning here from Jesus, the great teacher. Amen. Matthew, the eighth chapter, and Jesus is with his disciples, and we'll start at verse number 18. Now, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury the dead. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Amen. You can be seated. If you just think about it, we just went through quite an interesting episode here. Amen. We went from multitude of people gathered around to a command given to go to another side, to someone wanting to follow, and just, you know, you would think, somebody says, could I go with you? The answer ordinarily would be, well, sure, or either, no, I'm sorry, we have some plans on our agenda, it wouldn't be right at this time. But the answer that came was sort of different than what you would ordinarily expect, because it came from the great teacher. Amen. He is teaching a lesson here. He's not just giving just any old answer, and he's not using psychology. He wants to get a point across, and this point will be recorded, and for centuries to come, people will be considering these words. Certain scribe came and said, I'll go with you, wherever you go. And Jesus said, The foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So what lesson is he teaching here? And we'll come back to it in just a second. And another disciple says, Let me go bury my daddy. Now you would think that's a reasonable request. I mean, it's not every day that you get to bury your daddy. You know, I mean, his father, just think about it. This man's father had passed away. And he wanted to follow Jesus, but first he needed to go take care of things at home. I mean, it was a time of sadness, a time of bereavement, a time of adjustment, and he wanted to follow Jesus. And just on the surface, to look at this, it looked like the words were a little bit cruel. Let the dead bury the dead, and come on and follow me. Looked like a heartless comment, didn't it? I mean, if you just don't really realize what's going on here and you don't receive the teaching that's being presented, it doesn't really look like the sufficient answer that you would expect the master to give. But if you can't figure out why he did that, or if somehow you're judging him to have said something wrong, change your mind back off and look again. There are lessons here to be learned. And Jesus is the great teacher. And we'll come back up here and go through these again shortly. Amen. And so, let the dead bury the dead was the answer to this request. I'm going to follow you, but let me go bury my daddy first. And then, as they were on their way to the other side, after having obeyed the Lord, the wind starts blowing. And I've heard a lot of people say, why would God let these things happen to me? Well, there are lessons to be learned if we just look into the Word of God to what the teacher is teaching. Amen. The examples of what can happen when you want to follow the Lord, when you do follow the Lord, when you obey the Lord, and what a mess you can get into in the midst of it all, but how to recover yourself with the Lord's help. Amen. So many lessons to be learned. The wind started blowing, and that ship was out of control, and those people were fearful for their lives. And Jesus was relaxing. He was on the same boat. He was on the same boat where they were frantic, fearful, hearts beating fast, and they were trying hard to figure out, what are we going to do? And it seemed like all the elements were against them. And no matter what they did, they couldn't fix the situation. And Jesus was relaxing in the hinder part of the ship with his head on a pillow, asleep. It doesn't seem like the right thing for Jesus to do if you just think about it in your carnal reasoning. But you know what? Even when I went to school, there were a lot of things that I was learning. I didn't think the teacher had any business teaching me in the way she did. I mean, they were telling me things like 2 + 2 = 4. And I didn't understand that because I was just a beginner getting started. And it had to be explained to me in a way. But finally, one day, it just kind of penetrated my little skull. And I realized that 2 + 2 = 4. I don't remember exactly how it dawned on me. I remember times standing in class when I could not read. I wanted to be able to read. I would act like I could read. I would pick up little books and I would read to people, but I couldn't read. All I could do was look at the pictures and tell the people what I think the book says because of what I saw in the pictures. And they would say, oh, that's nice. You're such a good reader. And they knew I wasn't reading, but they wanted me to feel good because I was just a little child. And I could just read. It didn't matter if the book was upside down. I could read it just clearly and not miss a word because I was making the words up. And then in school, when I was trying to learn how to read, my teacher stood up there. She had children come to the front of the class and read a little book. It said something like, Ted is going to town, and Sue is going too. And so she said, Rendell, would you like to read this? I said, sure. And I walked up beside the teacher, and I looked at the book. And I said, would you say the words for me first? So she said, Ted, and I said, Ted. She said, is, I said, is. Going. To. Town. And went on like that, and we read that page together. Now, I got every word right. I didn't miss a word, and they were the words on the page. And when I got through reading those, my teacher looked at me and she said, you didn't read the words. I said, but I said the words. But she said, but you didn't read the words. And she said, you need to learn how to read the words. Well, I wanted to learn to read the words, but I didn't know how to start out. But she knew what to do. The teacher knew what to do. I didn't understand why I needed to learn A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. They had me singing that little song, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. We would sing. And then my parents got me these ABC blocks. To me, they were just little blocks to build things with, to knock down, you know, to stack up and to push over and to mess up the house with. Just ABC blocks. You just play with them. They're just toys. But you know what? There was something about that that somebody knew that I didn't know. If you keep looking at these letters long enough, you start realizing this is an A, and this is a B, and this is a C. And that really didn't mean that much to me, but I started realizing that's an A, that's a B. And pretty soon somebody showed me how to write the letter A, to print the letter A and B and C. And then I remember little flashes of people standing up before me and beside me when the word would start with a B. And I started recognizing, that's a B. And I remember my ABC blocks, it had a B. And then they would say, now go ba, and I'd go ba. Now, and they were teaching me that this B will lead to something else. And they would teach me that this C is something that you need to learn, and you know how you need to learn what it looks like, how to print it, because in learning this, there's something else that you're going to learn that'll help you to learn things better. And you know what? Today, I don't even think about my ABC blocks when I sit down to read a book. I don't sit around looking at these letters and go, ba, ka, 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 da, 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 ma, 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 ma. I'm trying to figure out how these words should start. Somewhere along the line, I got past this certain line and then this next certain line to where I was able to pick up a book by myself and say, Ted is going to town. And I actually could see the words on the page. I remember how excited I was when they started teaching me how to get past the printing of the words. I had only been able to print words with my little pencil. And they started teaching me how to write the words. And it was so exciting to me. Now today, I just, you know, I kind of have a mixture of both. It doesn't matter anymore, because I can always go to my computer when it gets too sloppy. But I just write without even thinking about it. But there had to be that little learning process. Well, Jesus has a learning process too. He starts out with simple words, simple people. People that are not necessarily thought of as being real important, but it didn't matter to Jesus, because Jesus was a teacher that could take anybody from any walk of life and start them out in a new beginning and teach them what to do next. Hallelujah. And how to take what you get and what you know and add to that and have something else happen as a result of your knowledge that you get from the great teacher. And so, he is the greatest teacher that ever lived. I taught school. I went from being a student that had a tough time learning to a teacher that had students that had a tough time learning. And I could identify with those children in my classrooms when I was a school teacher. When I would try to teach them, I put myself in their place. I remembered back in those days how that I had a difficult time. And so I was able to relate in such a way that when they could not see, when they could not understand, I was able to spend some time with them. Amen. And say, look, I know what you're going through. I've been there. I know what you're going through. So let's look at it from a different angle. And finally, I would see those little students in those classrooms say, I see it now. Yeah, I understand what. Oh, yeah. You know, and they just have that brightness about them when suddenly it dawned on them, hey, I can get this. I never forget the day I actually, by myself with no help, worked out an algebra equation. And it came out right. I mean, I had sat in those classes and seen this X plus Y minus X times double X and, you know, all this Y plus Z over Z equals minus X. You know, and I just, you know, and all these big, I mean, our school teacher would get on the blackboard with a chalk and he would just write all these X's and Y's and a few numbers and lines, and he'd fill up the whole blackboard with just numbers. And he'd say, now, he'd say, I want you to figure out this equation. And I was just sitting there looking at, wow, you know, oh, man. But he then erased it all. And he said, now let's go through it step by step. And then he told me what X means and what Y means. And then he drilled us with it. He said, now you say it after me. And we would repeat after him. Then we would write it on paper. And then he'd explain it slowly so we could understand and comprehend. And finally, step by step, by just showing us a little bit at a time, he said, now I want you to take this question I'm going to give you home with you and do your homework. Come back tomorrow and see if you can come back with the right answer. And he gave us this big equation. And I went home because he had gained my interest. Because there were a couple of those X's when he explained them, I understood what he was saying. And there was something about what I had already learned about multiplication and division and adding and subtracting and learning the alphabet and all those things. It was all starting to work together. It was just starting to, it was starting to gel a little bit. I could see, hey, I might be able to work this thing out. It looks so complicated on that blackboard. But when he broke it down just a little at a time, and he explained to me how I could use these X's and these numbers and these lines and go from point A to point B and point B to point C, I started thinking, I might be able to do this. I, little old me, I might be able to do this. I didn't see any reason why anybody should ever have to learn algebra at that time. They couldn't convince me that it was necessary. You know, it was difficult because I couldn't comprehend why. My question, why do I need to know this? And you may be asking this morning, why did Jesus say, let the dead bury the dead? To that man, all he wanted to do is bury his daddy and then follow Jesus. Well, that's a good question. And if you just join in the conversation, which we just did, we just join in what's going on there, there are a lot of things that have happened before that point. And it would be good to back up and go back and do your ABCs and come into this again. See the lessons that have already been taught. Try to understand who Jesus really is, what Jesus really can do, what Jesus can really do for you, and how He can change you and make things. If you really get the picture of what's going on here, He is in control of the situation right now. He is able to even cause Daddy to live again. He has the power over death, hell, and the grave, and He has all wisdom and all knowledge, and whatever He says, it's worth paying attention to. But just to suddenly hear Him say, somebody says, I want to go with you, but my daddy died and I want to bury my daddy. Well, let the dead bury the dead and follow me. Like the rich young ruler, you know. What must I do? What can I do that I may inherit eternal life? Sell all you've got and go give it to the poor. Now, just before that, he told him, keep the commandments. And he was leading him to something. He was teaching him a lesson. He was teaching us a lesson. We read about it. It's in the book. But I mean, these stories that we read in the Bible don't always turn out with what we think should be a happy ending. I mean, he says, keep the commandments, and the man is all happy. Oh, wow, I can do this. I've been doing this. I've been doing it all my life. I don't steal, I don't kill, I don't Oh, wow. So that's what I got to do to inherit eternal life? And he says to the rich man, and get rid of your stuff. And come and give it away and give it to poor people. Come and follow me. Well, you know what? He went from all excited about learning from Jesus to he decided he didn't want to learn this lesson after all. It's just kind of like, I mean, who needs algebra? Who needs to learn how to do this kind of stuff? I mean, who does this man think he is? You see, what it was, Jesus said what he wanted to hear. And it was great. And then Jesus told him something he didn't want to hear. And he went away sorrowful. Well, when you start learning from the Lord, from the Master Teacher, there are going to be some things that you're going to enjoy hearing. And there are going to be some other things that kind of go against the grain. Because when you're learning, sometimes there are barriers to break through. Sometimes there are some mountaintops to cross over and some valleys to overcome and some hardships. And Jesus kind of laid it out here in the Word of God. He didn't hide anything from us. He put the pitfalls. He put life experiences. He put people going through things, going through storms, going through trials. Everyday life experiences, things that really happen in ordinary life, all before us, and conversations that took place, and lessons that were taught. He didn't hide the wrongdoings of the people that He loved, even those that were close to Him. When they would mess up, He just put it in the book and said, well, they messed up. Read about it. I mean, what a teacher He was. You get close to Him and you goof up and He allows it to be written in a book and lets all generations read about your mistake. So they'll learn what to do, you know. If they mess up too, they'll know how to overcome too. Well, I don't really think you should. Look, it gives me hope to be able to read. If you get to thinking, I don't think you should have done that, just think about this. It would be pretty difficult to find hope in the Scriptures sometimes if you couldn't find an example where somebody actually denied the Lord, turned their back on Him, lied, cussed, went away from Him after having tried to serve Him and said, I don't even know Him, and yet was able to become a child of God after all of that. And recover himself, and not only recover himself, but teach us how to become heirs of the kingdom of God. Hey, that gives me hope to keep on preaching. because not everything is as it always appears. I mean, sometimes we find ourselves going through some moments when especially when you're alone and it's dark and things are, I mean, like the other night I asked for an offering and we didn't get it and still don't have it and the bill's still there. And I could say, well, I give up. Because I know I'm looking at a congregation. It seems like more than half of our congregation, the state wants your money and don't want you to be able to give to the church. I mean, we've got cases where, and I won't go into all the details, but there are past historical things that have happened in families that are trying to pull any income we could have to pay our bills out of your pocket so you can't. And then if you'd meet up with Jesus and He'd give you a lesson on what to do about your situation, He'd say, seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Give the first of what you got to the Lord. In fact, give yourself to the Lord. Give everything you got to God and follow me. And the bill collectors are still out there, right? Or, you know, if I would just look at the situation, I would know that the owner of the property is going to show up here with a smile and an expectancy tomorrow for $1,490. And we'll do good to have $90. And she's going to say, "Hello, Mr. Rutledge." And I'm going to say, "Hello." Now, from here to there, I don't know what kind of bridge I'm going to have to cross. I don't know what kind of battle I'm going to have to face, but one hope I have is the world could come to an end. We could have an earthquake. A lot of things could go wrong, and the day won't even get here. But now, if I wake up in the morning, and the earth hasn't come to a screeching halt, and the sun shines, and the birds are singing, I can pretty much count on around 11 o'clock a smile on the face of a property owner as she comes in and a concerned look as she walks out. So, if I didn't have something in the Bible, if I didn't have something in the Word of God that shows me that other people have been in these situations, and the Lord taught a lesson, said, "Hey, catch a fish." Huh? I mean, I tried that when I was younger. I had written this check with faith that it would be good. By the time they put it in the bank, but they got to the bank before I could get to the bank. And I didn't know what I could do about it, so I just decided to go fishing. And I was fishing, and my daddy drove up where I was fishing. He drove 50 miles. And he said, "You got some business to tend to. Why are you out here fishing?" And I said, "I can't do any more about it there than I can do about it here, and I can enjoy it here better than I can there." He said, "It doesn't make sense. When you got an obligation, you need to be home taking care of it." I said, "Daddy, I'm taking care of it now." He said, "How?" I said, "Jesus had some disciples. And they went and caught a fish, and it had money in its mouth." He said, "How many of you caught with money in their mouth?" He said, "How much money did you spend to get out here and catch these fish?" He said, "Couldn't you take some of that and maybe go and done something different?" Yeah, but it wouldn't have been as enjoyable. He said, "The longer you sit out here, the less enjoyable it's going to become." He said, "You can go tune a piano. You can go teach a music lesson." He said, "The later you put it off, son, the worse it's going to get." Well, I had some lessons to learn back in those days. But Jesus, when He teaches this lesson, the greatest obligation that you could ever have is to drop everything and follow Him with all your heart. Because His way is above our way. He says, "Come and follow Me. Forget about your plans. But what if it's something as drastic as needing to bury my daddy? Let the dead bury the dead. Come and follow." Now, He wasn't saying, "Don't love your daddy. Don't be grieving over your daddy." He wasn't saying that. He wasn't saying, don't think about all the good times you had with your father. What He was doing was teaching a lesson. There is nothing greater in life than following Jesus. There is no concern that you can have, and there's nothing that you can go through that can be compared to what will happen if you put all your trust in Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The dead would be those who are not alive to the consciousness of this lesson that can be learned. Hallelujah. Those who are out there who will not choose to follow Him, they would be considered as the dead. Let those who are not following, let those who are not paying attention, those who are not learning, let them take care of it. If you really want to follow Me, let's go now. Hallelujah. He was saying, He was teaching a lesson. There is nothing that can come up in your life that's worth being an excuse to keep you from following Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, there have been several times when I've started to get on an airliner and things would go wrong and hectic things would happen, problems would come up and I couldn't get on and I would miss my plane. And then I would always think, well, you know, maybe it was a good thing I missed it. And I'd listen to the news just to see if that was the one that was going to crash next. You know, and I said, there has to be some reason why I missed that airplane. It usually turns out the reason was I got up too late and got to the airport too late and didn't make it through the line in time and put things off too much, and that was my reason. But if one of those planes that I was trying to board had crashed and killed all the passengers, and I had not been on it and had tried frantically to get on it but couldn't have, I would have gone around saying, you know, I'm glad I didn't get on that plane. And you would think, when you read just a little bit here that's happening in the life of Jesus, these people wanted to go with Jesus, but just a little while later, the ones that did go with Him are going through a tough thing here. The wind is blowing. The ship is about to fall apart. And crazy things are happening. Their life is in a whirlpool. They're just in a mess. And they don't know what to do. And the one they wanted to follow is asleep. I've tried that. I tried to sleep through a storm and it didn't seem to help me. When I was younger, you know, I ain't talking about a storm where the wind's blowing, a storm where the waves are dashing. I'm talking about a storm when everything that could go wrong is going wrong all around me. And I just tried to forget about it and go in the back room and just kind of hide away and seclude myself and just sleep through it. When I woke up, the storm was still there. And there's nobody out there saying, peace, be still. Instead, the phone was ringing and they were saying, turmoil again. Trouble, yeah, chaos, confusion, pressures. And there have been those days when anything that could go wrong went wrong. I'm glad that when I have those bad days, that I can pick up the Bible and find a lesson with examples that others have seen miracles. Others have walked with the Lord. Others have been part of the great, glorious work of God and enjoyed the benefits of seeing what God can do. And then they have gone through trials and tribulations and had discomforts and things come against them. So what happens? What happens in a time like this? Jesus is relaxing through it because He knows what to do. And there's nothing you can go through that you should really worry about because He's not going to worry. If He's not worried and you're with Him, it's going to get worked out. That's the lesson. He won't do the ordinary things that we would do. But what could we do? If the wind's blowing, the waves are dashing, and the ship's about to fall apart, what could you do? Bail water? Hold on? Scream? Cry out, oh, what are we going to do? That's not going to help anything. So the lesson is taught. Go to Jesus. Just go to Jesus. And we can see the example there where they went through all these pressures and they finally went to Jesus. But now that we know what to do, if we would just go to Jesus at the beginning of the storm, we could save ourselves a lot of trouble. Hallelujah. Fearfully, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you know that what's going on? Yeah, He knows everything. That's why He's sleeping. Tired in body. It's all right, He can sleep through it. Because what is a storm to us is an opportunity to teach a lesson for Jesus. And can end up with a great testimony. So He says, be still to the wind and the waves. Peace. And they just stand there speechless. Never seen anything like this before. Like my mama would say, it beats all I ever saw. Never speak a man like that. Wow. Even the wind obeys his voice. And these were people that any religious teaching they'd ever had before was, God is not a man. God is a spirit. God is not a man. That's what the religious truth of the Bible, the Word of God, before there was a Bible, when it was in scrolls, when it was the Old Testament scrolls, the lessons that had been taught in the synagogues, God is spirit. God is not man. God is spirit. God is not man. And then here's this man who is their friend speaking to the wind, and the wind obeys his voice. Speaking to the waves, and the waves obey. Look, you can speak to the waves all you want to, and they're not going to obey your voice. You can talk to the wind all you want to, and it's not going to obey your voice. But if you ever meet somebody that can speak to the wind, and the wind will cease. If you ever meet somebody that can say to the waves, be still, stand still, because you just met the second coming of the Lord. There ain't no power on earth that can do that other than God. Hallelujah. What manner of man is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him. I tell you what manner of man he is. He's the greatest teacher on the face of the universe. He's the one that can take the wind that's blowing against you and make it end up being something to give you victory, to give you joy and hope, and something that others can learn from. The waves that are dashing against you can turn out to be a great report of how Jesus is the master of the sea. Jesus is the master of the storm. Jesus is the one that can take the elements in His hand and has all power over creation. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to serve Him. I want to follow Him. Could I go with you? Could I please go with you? I have no place to dwell. I have no home. I have no bed. I have nothing to offer as far as materialistic things. Can I go with you? Foxes have holes. Birds have nests. I don't even have that. Can I go with you? You're going to go through a storm. Can I still go with you? Come follow me. Hallelujah. Why are we so surprised when bad things happen to good people? When the world gets upside down on you and you're under the rubble and you don't know what to do, and you've done all you know to do to try to follow Jesus, why are we so surprised? Look in the Bible. We're going to stand here. I don't care who bows down. All right? You're going to burn. We're still going to stand here. We're taking a stand for our God. We follow the true God. Heat the fire up 7 times hotter. Well, you may burn us, but we're still going to trust Him. Here they come, the men to put them in the fire. I've had people try to put me in the fire before. I thank God I can look in the Word of God and see when these things happen. I'm not talking about literal fire, but I'm talking about something that seems just as bad. I'm talking about fiery trials that come into our lives. I'm glad I can look in the Word of God and see how that God is able to deliver people that go through the fire. The men take them, they bind them hand and foot, and they head for the fiery furnace. It's so hot, they break out in the sweat. These men can't take it. I mean, they can't even get close to the fire. And they have to get close enough to throw these 3 Hebrew boys into the fire. But when they get close enough to do that, they catch on fire. The men that were going to do them harm ended up burning to death right there on the spot. And here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Hands bound, feet bound. Something catches on fire. What is it? The ropes on the hands, but the hands don't get burned. And the hands break free. The ropes on the feet are burning up, but the clothes are not burning. And they're standing there free, able to walk around. Now, we talk about a lot how the king and how the people out there looked inside. But think about how it is to be in the fire looking outside. We got a lesson here how you can really be free. Let Jesus be with you in the fire. Let the Lord be with you in the trial. Make sure that you're free to be able to walk around a little bit and enjoy the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah! Take your stand for God in this evil generation. Somewhere along the way, somebody's going to say, I see something other than you in this. As they looked on the outside, what did they see? A man with his knees knocking. The one that said, you either bow down or you're going to get burned. And now he's, did not we throw three men into the fire? Oh, I see four in there. Amen. Praise God. You going to follow Jesus? Find examples of what people that love God go through. Dedicated men prays three times a day. Seeks after God. Loves God. A law gets passed, you can't do it anymore. You go to the lines then if you do. Some of the friends and neighbors would have probably said, you're missing God completely of this prayer business. You're out of the will of God. You're going to get in trouble. If you go to the lines then, you must have really messed up. How can you have revival in a lion's den? How can anybody find any good in a lion's den? Now, these were not trained lions. This was not the zoo where the lion tamer comes in every day and teaches the lions to sit and shake hands and be nice. This was a lion's den filled with hungry, vicious, sharp-teeth lions. Loving to eat meat with sharp claws, fully able to devour anything that has flesh as soon as it enters the lion's den. And when this friend of Daniel's had signed a decree that if anybody's caught praying to any other god other than to the one that he'd been tricked into signing they should serve, which was actually himself, that they should be cast into the den of lions. He worried about it all night long. God didn't worry about it at all. The lesson that was taught was, it doesn't matter what the situation looks like. It doesn't matter how strong the forces may be around you. Just keep on doing what you're doing. Keep on loving God like you love Him. Keep on praying to the Lord no matter what. Keep trusting Him no matter what. And the next day, Daniel, there must have been something in the heart of that man to give him hope that just possibly their God came through. Hard to believe it could happen, but maybe. Something about the way he walked, and something about the way he talked, and something about the way he carried himself. Just maybe. Daniel, are you alive or are you dead? Now, if he thought he was dead, why is he asking the question? There's something in his heart that said, maybe he's alive. Oh, Daniel, are you alive or are you dead? And the answer comes, oh, King! Ordinarily, there should not be that answer. There should be nothing but a few scraps of bones lying around and maybe some hair over here and over there. But here he is, still alive. Probably just waking up from sleeping with his head on a lion's tail. Hallelujah! After a good night's rest, O King, live forever! These are my friends in here. They like me. They didn't hurt me at all. We got along just fine. Nice kitty. Said, shake hands. Look here, King. They love me in here. My, you guys did me a favor. I've been able to pray all night long. I guarantee you he prayed more than three times a day that day. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. And the ones that threw him into the lion's den. Suddenly those friendly lions stopped being so friendly. They did what they thought would happen to Daniel as soon as he went in. As soon as they were thrown into that lion's den. That was it. There wasn't any of that next day business. Oh, King, live forever. Let's all stand. Praise God. Hey, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Be following Jesus. Follow Him. But I got this to do and that to do. That's all right. He knows all that stuff. He can help you take care of it. Follow Him. It'll get worked out. Take no thought for tomorrow. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall put on, what you know. Follow Jesus. Well, who is this Jesus? He is God.
Hallelujah.
He is God. Ultimately, you'll find out that He is the door to heaven. He is the door to the Spirit. He is the door to eternal life. He is the answer to every circumstance, every question. He is the solution to every problem. He is all you could ever need. What excuse should you possibly have or could you have to not follow Him? Because no matter where you are, read the lessons in the Word that He taught. Got a problem at home? Have faith. He can fix it.
Hallelujah.
Right now. Or He can go there with you. And He can raise the dead. He can cleanse a leper. He can cool the fever. He can stop the funeral procession and raise the dead. Ain't nothing He can't do. Come follow Me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's thank Him right now. Jesus, we love You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Some people don't learn the lesson and they make the work of God look bad because they get to these points of storms and trials and conditions going to be terrible if they go any further with what they've been doing. It's going to get rough along the way. Suddenly they take matters in their own hand and say, I've got to do something about this situation. That's the worst thing that we can really do. It's to stop trusting completely. To stop following with no reservations and try to become our own Savior. We're so close to victory. Why blow it just because you get worried and fearful? That's the best time to have the faith. Right at the time when it seems impossible. There's no way. There is absolutely nothing I can do. That's a good time to say, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. And the people around you say, okay, you're so happy now, so what's turning you on? Why are you so happy? You know something we don't know. What are you doing about this situation? Don't you think you need to get off this fishing bank and go back in town and do something? Because you're not going to do nothing out here. Hey, wait a minute. I'm relaxing. I'm sleeping. I need this rest. Because I got a lot of following to do. I know Jesus is going to work this out somehow. Amen. Hey, get that lion's tail out from under my head so I can comb my hair. I got some things to do. Hey, don't worry about the fire. Jesus is walking with me through this fire. Praise God. My daddy will be okay. I'm following Jesus. Oh, don't worry about it. Even though he's in the grave, everything's going to still be okay. I'm following Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All those lessons in school, I'm going to huff and I'm going to puff and I'm going to blow your house down. When I started to learn about the devil, I thought about the big bad wolf. The big bad wolf. I'm going to huff and puff and blow your house down. He's tried it. He's tried it. But he is a big bag of wind. Amen. Yeah, Jesus is the door. That's a good thought. Amen. How you going to blow my house down when Jesus is the door? Blow all you want to, big bag of wind. Let's thank him one more time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Thank you, Jesus.